Hello, welcome everybody. This is On Location, Coastside Edition with Sophia Lane. I'm Sophia Lane, and today I have the pleasure of being here with my friend, Kike Bazan.
Thank you, Sophia.
Here on Purisma Street in Half Moon Bay, new location of one of our really, really amazing nonprofits we have here on the coastside of San Mateo County, Ayudando Latinos a Soñar, also known affectionately as ALAS.
Yes.
Which means in Spanish something, right?
Means.
Right?
Means.
Yeah, has meaning.
Yes.
Has meaning.
Very symbolic.
Yes, very symbolic. So nice to be here with you.
Yes, thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. It's always a pleasure to visit. And we are here on a Saturday morning. So Saturday mornings with ALAS means the food distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So we are here. We see lots of people around sharing food, getting food. But before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I kind of know you pretty
yes.
well over the years. We've done a lot of work together.
Yeah.
When I was on our local school board, ALAS was always an invaluable partner to making sure we were working together to support our community, all of our community members.
Yes.
But tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. I'm originally from Peru, and I came here to Half Moon Bay as an exchange teacher with the AMITE program at Hatch, helping with the Spanish immersion program. And it was in November of 2000, and I stayed for 1 year until November of 2001.
Wow.
So I was here when September 11 happened.
You were? I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
Which was very traumatic for the kids and the
yes.
families. And
yes.
so I was able to experience a little bit of the solidarity that happened within the community, also
yes.
the parents, and how to work or talk to the kids or deal with trauma, you know?
Yes.
And I came here just for 1 year. I couldn't speak English at the
yeah.
time.
Oh, wow.
So the school also, or a volunteer of the school, helped me with English classes.
Yeah. Oh, very
cool. And so that's how I learned. And then I applied to the university. And so my year ended. I went back to Peru, and then I got accepted to come back
yeah.
here to the U.S. to
so
study a master's.
So you came here when you were 10? Wow, that's impressive.
No. I was
okay.
almost over. Okay. I looked at my
college
look
age-ish.
Like 10, exactly. But
that's
I did,
awesome. So,
I did my
yeah,
master's and doctoral here later
oh,
on.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Good. That's awesome. And now you've had an amazing career working in mostly in education?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I always worked in education
yeah.
and human rights.
Yes.
And so I work for a university organizing immersion programs, because when I lived in Peru, I worked, my mom has shelters for homeless children. And so, and in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a social cleansing policy to kill the kids in the streets. And so...
Wait, say that again?
So there was a social cleansing policy, and the policy was cleaning the kids that were in the streets. And
oh,
so the work
goodness.
That my mom was to
yeah.
give food and shelter to the kids
yeah.
ended up taking to the kids to the hospitals or to the morgue.
Yes.
And the killing only stopped when the international community, with the solidarity of the international community.
Yes.
And so when I had the chance to work at the university, I wanted to do the same. I wanted to train students in how to live in international solidarity.
Yes.
And that's what I did for 18 years also.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. amazing. Yeah. I think that's a part of the history that in Peru that a lot of people, myself, I'm familiar with difficult times.
Yes.
But I can see why an experience like that and living through an experience like that and seeing what an inspiration what your mom was doing mm-hmm. to get around that
yeah.
just gives us hope that even when things seem like they're at the bottom,
yes,
you know, people with determination
yeah.
and with care can do so much.
Yeah.
And not only themselves directly like your mom did, but to inspire the next generation
exactly.
as she did with you.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing.
And also the solidarity was incredible.
Yeah.
Because it was just one journalist that wrote about it
yeah.
in Sweden. And then a journalist from Peru decided to write about it. And
yeah.
then people started talking about it.
Yeah.
That's how the killing ended.
Wow,
ended.
That's amazing.
And so it's just the meeting the community and then getting to know about the tragedies and the pain that made me believe that personal connection,
yes.
direct connection with the people that you want to support is really important, because we get to know or we get to learn something that affects our lives that probably is very similar.
Yeah.
You know, a pain, a similar pain of maybe being homeless one day and now you have a job, you know, and that then you want to change other people's lives. You know?
Yeah, that's amazing. That's really an incredible story, Kike, and it's I can't help but thinking about the parallels in the world today, right?
Yeah.
Between what you and your family witnessed and helped influence, even with, you know, the dynamics of having kind of one journalist that uncovered the story and that spread.
Yeah.
And just people were part of that spread, right? It doesn't just happen normally, but it, you know, when people care and take action, it's amazing what's possible.
Yes. And it's a different time because at the time there was no social media,
right?
So people weren't bombarded with all this news from around the world,
yeah.
You know. But what hasn't changed is like when you meet the people personally, when you get to know their personal stories, when you meet their children and you see the situation in which they live, people want to do something.
Yes.
And so the personal connection is key.
It's so key.
And that's what, because right now all the policies is because they haven't met the people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but it's once you meet the people and you can have a conversation what you want to do, people share their hopes and dreams and what they can also do to change their own condition.
Yeah.
And being protagonists of their own future is key also.
It's,
you know?
So key.
So people don't want just that you hand them down something without them having some kind of protagonism. Because they have children.
Yes.
They have children that they want to, you know, be, you know, proud about their parents.
Yeah.
They don't want to see, and parents don't want to see, show to their kids that they just extend their hands and they receive something. So people always want to be part of the solution.
Yep.
And that's what people don't get until they meet the people.
So. Yeah, that's so true. And I think for a long time in education, mm-hmm. the idea was, and even now we hear DEI, right? Most people probably don't even know that means diversity, equity, inclusion. Mm-hmm. But even before all the political culture wars that emerged around that concept, there was already a recognition that inclusion piece is not sufficient. Maybe
right.
necessary, but not sufficient.
Right.
Where, like what you're describing, sounds like a lot of what people talk about as belonging.
Mm.
So it's not just enough to say, hey, Kike, come to my party.
Yeah.
And like, I'm expecting you to be happy.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's more like, Kike, let's figure out how to make this part. Let's figure out, do we want to party?
Yes,
do we
want to
go for a walk? Who are we going to invite? This is like our school or our party or our food bank. And I think that's the amazing thing that Alas has done, has, you know, created a space where people not only are included, but they belong.
That's right. And participating in the creation of activities, of solution, it's kind of like I could have a strategy, an idea of a strategy of what people need.
Yes.
And I bring my strategy. That's one way of doing things.
Yep.
The other thing is like, you come with your ideas, I come with my ideas, we see it, and we have a blank canvas in between to see what we can create together.
Yeah.
And that's the plan. The plan is that once we design together something together, then we both will put effort into it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just one-sided, you know?
Yeah.
And no relationships work like that. You know?
No, not at all. Mm-hmm. And I know it's something, Belinda Arriaga, who
everyone
in Half Moon Bay knows as a founder, executive director, esteemed doctora at USF as well, has a phrase that she often says around, like, we're more similar than we are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also what people learn when they actually look at each other and see the humanity in each other and go to the same spaces, try to have conversations, which, of course, with language barriers can be somewhat challenging, but I can definitely say, as one who is continually working on improving my Spanish, is very always appreciated, right? Like, even just trying another person's language so you can find some common ground. And it's amazing how much you can do with facial expressions and what do you call it, like, when you're moving your hands and, like, not sign language per se, but like hand motions about pointing here, you know, etc. It's amazing, like, how much we can communicate even with these perceived barriers that we put up, many of which are coming externally and we're being told, but you know, it really isn't up to us as a choice. Do we accept those stereotypes or assumptions about each other? Do we get out there and and actually see each other and talk and and work together in an empowering, non-condescending kind of way?
You know, a lot of people come to Alas for tours. So if anyone wants a tour of the buildings see the offices, we give them tours.
Welcome.
You know?
Can we say your email address for
Absolutely, absolutely. But anytime, if you guys want, anyone wants to come, we will do that. Because it's hard to tell what, to share what we do or only one person. Because it's not just the facts, it's also very subjective.
Yes.
There is a reason why every person does what they do.
Yes.
And so it's so the human side and the operational side is shared when people come and visit.
Yeah.
But we're walking between, because we rent different offices here in town, you know?
Yeah.
So we walk, it's like a small campus that we walk in between two blocks,
it's
you know?
Cool.
And so while walking, we run into people. And usually the guests, I mean, the people, some of the workers, but also some of the people that come for services. And the guests that come just to do the tours, they say, you guys know everybody.
Yeah,
and it's
true.
Not that we know everybody.
Well,
it's a small town,
do.
You know?
Yeah, it's a small town. But like you said, you're always walking around.
Yes, yes. And so I always stop and I say, hey, let me introduce you to this person.
Yeah.
And I share to the person who the guests are. And then they start talking just about the life and about things. And there is another aspect that helps the context about why we do what we do.
Yes.
And so it's very... It changes all the time about the information that changes or what people carry with them about the work that we do and other organizations. When it's like this, you know, when people are walking, it's very interactive. People can ask questions. So I agree with you that it's like, how do we connect?
Yeah.
You know, how do we get out of our own ideas and prejudices or idealisms, you know, because there are also romanticisms.
Yes, yeah, true.
You know, romanticism
true.
About who we are, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like, how can we create a human connection? And that's the key of what we do.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the walking around bit too, I think, is so powerful. There was a film that was shown as part of a film festival last winter, Beach Break Entertainment. My friend Julie does a festival, and one of the films she had featured there was called Walk With Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about how American culture evolved to be very car-oriented. And so we get in our cars, we invest in highways, and that has some benefits, but also some downsides, which is we don't walk as much.
Yes.
We don't, you know, which of course has obvious health benefits, obvious environmental benefits, but also the, you know, the social benefits that you're describing of. And I notice that myself too when I just walk around. Like, I run into five people, like, pretty much anytime I walk to town. Because, like, you're walking, you see each other.
Yes.
You're not going to not say hi.
That's
I mean, you can, but, like, most people will, like, acknowledge each other. Then you would say, hey, how's it going? Where are you going? Where are you coming from? Blah, blah, blah. Speaking of walking, can we take a walk around the food bank
and
see what we see today?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
So let's take a. So you were here at your new location, as we said, Aprisma.
Yes.
We're consolidating a lot of the operations here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which is the first building that we buy. We have had other locations that, luckily, we have had low rent.
Yeah.
And so we have been renting, but now we were able to buy this. And we're going to, actually, the yellow house, that we're iconic for the yellow house, is moving to this new location.
I'm sure you'll make it beautiful here, too.
Well, I hope. This is a big location, though, so it's going to cost a lot of money.
It is. There's a lot of wall space here.
That's right. So we are recruiting artists and people just to see what we can do.
What we can do. Yeah. All right, so what do we see here? We see Ceci here checking people in.
Hey, Ma.
Hey, hi, Ma. Hola, Ma. ¿Cómo estás? Bien. Recordamos por un podcast. Nos vemos.
Emma and Ceci, they are the ones. Emma always works. If anyone needs help, the first person
she
that
helps.
They see is Emma.
Here's Patty. Patty's
awesome.
Always the queen of the
making
food
sure
bank.
That everything is working.
Yeah.
And everything is run by volunteers. There are two groups of volunteers. The one that come in the morning to organize the food and the tables, and they, I think they arrive like at 6:30 a.m. or 6 a.m.
Yeah, 6:30. So I've done that too, and it's awesome.
Yes. And it's quick.
It's quick.
Yes.
And it's funny because it's not like there aren't a lot of specific directions that are given when you volunteer for that.
Yes.
But like you just kind of go and you watch people and you show up and you work yourself into the
and
routine.
It's
amazing.
The pattern.
Yeah,
the
patterns.
Yes.
The stuff.
Yeah.
So I see here this says sea melon.
Yes. So we have a bunch of melons. We get a bunch of the donation from Second Harvest. And this is a partnership that is not too long, because before we used to buy all the food and it was really expensive.
Yeah.
But we were at the border, I mean really close to close the operations because we couldn't afford until we partnered with Second Harvest.
Yeah.
And now we can continue providing this service to around 350 families every Saturday.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is a lot of people.
350 families.
Yes. And so it's really good. People really need it with inflation going up, jobs getting harder, and especially with the fear that people are carrying. Anytime there is a scare or a news that ICE will be here, people don't go to work and they don't get paid.
Yeah.
And it happens often, you know. So. Mm-hmm. So the food pantry is really important.
It's really nice. And it is such a beautiful thing with the music and the volunteers. And
A lot of seniors come.
A lot of seniors, yeah. And I see here in these bags we have more vegetables, some peppers. And
that's right. Tortillas,
of course. Over there.
And beans.
Yeah. We have
ajitomate, queso
fresco.
Yes.
And I know you have to be careful too with the dairy products that they don't stay too long.
That's
you're following
right.
a lot of rules,
yes.
right? And regulations
yes.
to
yeah.
make sure the
yeah, we have to
food
that.
Is safe.
Yes. Yeah. And something that we're trying to monitor also is the cost of food in the markets.
Yeah.
Because right now it's consistent. In the last 3-4 months, it hasn't gone up. Sometimes there are sales, it go down and up. I mean, it balances.
Yeah.
But if we monitor it, because if there is a large increase of inflation, we know that more people will show up.
Yeah,
makes
sense.
So, and also, if that's the case, we also need to, if inflation goes up, we will alert the city and the other organizations about how to support these families, you know. Also, at the same time, we have to talk to the employers.
Yeah.
Because if food goes up, then people need to make more money. Otherwise, it's going to be a huge crisis here in Half Moon Bay. And the beauty is, like, Half Moon Bay, there is a lot of solidarity here.
Yeah.
So that's what we have seen.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah,
it's amazing to see what we said earlier, like when people work together.
Yeah.
Like with the partnership that you have now with Second Harvest, like you create abundance.
Exactly.
Right? It's not kind of beating your head against the wall trying to figure out how do we make this thing happen that we've been doing this way.
Yeah.
You say, okay, we're having a challenge with this. Let's get creative.
That's
let's
right.
find partnerships.
Yes.
And let's empower people to be part of their own solution.
Yeah. And something you were talking before is like the walking is so important.
Yeah.
And walking together. And we just walked around the here the food pantry, but because walking, and remind me while walking with you, we follow a rhythm, right? I mean, we have to sync in a rhythm,
and that's true.
You have seen that Alas has the heart as a symbol, too. You know, it's a heart
with wings,
yes. And I do believe that when you walk together, when you meditate together, it's not just the steps, but it's also the heart. In sync somehow.
Yeah.
And that's so important because that's what creates community.
Completely.
You know, it's like when you feel that your heart and somebody else's heart is just in sync, and then you have a rhythm of conversation, a rhythm of finding solutions, a rhythm of everything. You know, you find rhythm for what kind of even dreaming and imagining. And one thing that we are working, actually also connected with partnerships.
Yeah.
History Association.
Yeah.
We're working with them because we want them to train us.
Yeah.
Because we want to now recruit migrant families that become cultural guides. Because we do these tours of Alas.
Yes.
We get so much demand about this.
Yeah.
That now we want to train people also to tell the story of Half Moon Bay from the perspective of the migrant.
That's beautiful.
And so we have History Association also to train us from what they know.
Yes.
And then we're going to share the story that we want to share.
That is so cool.
And so we're going to combine it because walking is important.
Walking is important.
Because it's symbolic. Yes. Everything we do is symbolic.
As much as you can. Obviously, we accommodate when that's not a possibility for
that's
people,
right?
And we do that too.
Yes.
We make sure that we have paths that are clear,
exactly.
that people are in assisted mobility situations they can get through. Yeah. But to just point being off our phones,
right.
being out of our cars,
exactly.
being outside of our, off of our sofas, you know, to actually be with people. And like you said, when you're moving together,
yes.
whether you realize it or not, you're syncing up.
That's
some had to go the same speed.
Exactly.
Maybe I walk fast. Maybe
exactly.
I had more coffee that day, or maybe I didn't have enough coffee. Like
that's right.
we somehow subconsciously line up,
yeah.
and then you have that habit, that pattern of lining up with people,
yeah.
and that goes to other things that you do to say, oh, well, you know, maybe we can work together in the food bank, or we could work together on this. History tours, which, by the way, that's such a fantastic organization as well, the Half Moon Bay History Association.
It's beautiful what they do.
Beautiful.
And we want to learn, and,
yeah.
and they're willing to help. So that's
fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for us, because symbols are important, and we believe in the spirituality, because that's what gives us hope.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like the world could be telling us that we are illegal, that we are not wanted here, you know. So we have to believe in something beyond what's here.
Yes.
And walking with people that want to walk with us is like a way of pilgrimage.
Yes.
And the stories of the migrant will be kind of like a chant behind it.
Yeah.
And so that's the image that we want to do with what...
That's beautiful. Oh, I can't wait to see that.
I know. It's going
to
take us a while because...
yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yes, because we're also working with some people that... Some of them don't speak English.
Yeah.
So they have to learn
English.
They have
to learn English.
Yes.
But what a great reason to learn English,
exactly,
right? Like
exactly.
that's.
And we are partnering with other organizations, other groups are doing it in other countries.
Yeah.
Because I want to have exchange programs with them as well. So they teach us how they do it in their countries and we can teach them how we do it here. And so it's just, it's tell the story of the migrant and the migrant becoming part of the community.
Yeah,
you know?
That's beautiful, and I think that's such a creative way to have that happen,
that's
to achieve that vision, kind of as like a, you know, something that you kind of continue to build on the work that you've been doing lifelong throughout all your career.
That's right.
And integrating and partnering.
That's the plan.
That's beautiful. Well, I think what you've shared with us today is so inspiring. I know people listening right now are probably thinking, how can they help?
Yes.
Like there's the obvious,
alas.org,
is it? Alas.org?
Alas.com.
Oh, .com.
So
okay, I wasn't sure.
We were so inexperienced.
Yes, you
did. When we started, that we didn't know org was for non-profits.
I wasn't sure. So alas, is it alas.com? Or is
alas.dreams.
Alas.dreams.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alas.dreams. In plural.
Yeah.
.com.
Alasdreams.com. So people there can obviously find a donation link to support you. I know you're part of COSAI Gives every spring as well, but no reason for people to wait till May necessarily to do that when you're doing so much already.
Yeah.
And people can also contact you through that website. I guess probably your
email's
on that website.
My email is KIQUE. Mm-hmm. at alasdreams.com.
Perfect. So people can contact you if they want a tour or something.
Yeah.
Or want to volunteer at the food bank or other ways or have other ideas about how they can help.
Exactly.
They can reach you, right?
And I will suggest start with a walk.
Yeah.
Because then people understand the different aspects of our jobs and people can tell us in where they are more drawn to
us. That makes a lot of sense. So start with that kind of orientation.
Yes.
What else can people do just in their day-to-day lives? I know like a lot of people feel like they're busy or you know they maybe have limited resources to give per se in that way.
Yes.
Just being a normal human on the planet, what kind of things can people also do to help our immigrant community?
Yes, so we really want people to learn about the life of the migrant worker.
Yeah.
And if they have friends,
yeah.
if they have a school,
yeah.
You know, people that care about human rights, professors from universities, teachers from high schools, just to invite them.
Yeah.
You know, invite them to come. We want to meet them.
Yeah.
We want to meet them. We want to be bridge to to, you know, to this community that live here in our backyard.
Connect people.
Exactly.
Right?
Help
make those connections.
Yes. If people can't, or people don't have the energy, or something like that, always, even a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, we could have tea together.
Yeah,
we could play chess.
I mean, anything.
Yes, but
that
it's
human connection.
Yes. Also, there are other aspects. Immigration doesn't happen just here. It happens in other places.
Yeah.
If people want to travel to learn about immigration in other places, we have connections with organizations in other places too.
Oh, that's cool.
And so if people travel to Spain, we'll be lucky or happy to connect them with organizations in Spain, in Italy, in the border of Tijuana, you know, or even researchers.
Yeah.
We have a research team that is really good too.
Yeah.
And they work mainly with Stanford right now, but the University of San Francisco también is also involved.
Oh, fantastic. But
other researchers. Actually, we have, you know how there is an ethical board all the universities have before you do research?
Yes.
The ethical board of the university has to accept it, your research or not.
Yeah.
To not harm
to know
the people.
Exactly.
So we have our own ethical board here in Half Moon Bay.
Oh, we do.
So, well, in Alas.
It's Alas,
but it's the members of the community that we have a board. And so any research that wants to do research, they have to be approved by
really
this group
smart.
Of community members.
That's really smart to have
and it's farm
check.
Workers, people that work in the restaurants that are there, and they say, okay, tell me, how is this research going to be good for our community? So there is that conversation.
How is it going to support us and help us?
So we do have, we involve people, and I will say, if people want to connect, the first thing is
reach out.
Reach out, and then we'll try to work together so our hearts are sinking.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we find what people hold in their hearts the most.
Because everyone's a little bit different,
exactly.
Right? I spoke recently with Jane Batty for the previous episode I had done, or earlier episode I had done, and that was kind of her same advice as well. Like, basically just put yourself out there.
That's right.
Right? Like, put yourself out there, and kind of like when you're fishing, you cast the line into the ocean, and you see what you get, right?
Yes,
and
exactly.
You kind of like then know, here I'm going to catch more perch. Here I'm going to... I'm not a fisherman, so I'm probably choosing the wrong fish. But, you know, here I'll catch whatever.
Yes.
And it's what I need to do. So you kind of like hone your skills and kind of finding what you need. And like you said, like have a walk around and see what's going on and go from there.
Yeah. And in a time like today, when there is so much information, it's the human connection is key.
Yeah.
That's why we're inviting people to connect with
us. Yeah. And even just kind of being out and about, seeing people, looking people in the eyes, kind of a lost art sometimes,
exactly.
Right? Like seeing people in the eyes and like saying hi. Mm-hmm. It takes virtually no effort to do that. And everyone benefits.
Yes, I agree.
So
thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kike. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time. It's so fantastic to see you always.
Yes.
And by the way, it's sunny Half Moon Bay today.
Yes,
that's pretty awesome. I was like, maybe 68 degrees. It's pretty summery here for the coast side.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate always talking with you, and appreciate your time, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you very much.
On Location, Coastside Edition with Sophia Lane is produced by Bright Now Media. Stay tuned for our next episode coming soon, and thanks for listening.